Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the show. This is the Pop Rocks Radio Talk Show. I'm your host, Pop Art Painter Jamie Rocks, and this is the big show. We have a special Saturday edition of the show, Saturday afternoon here in South Florida, and we are rolling right along. I tell you, speaking of rolling along, at this time of year, for those who don't know, down here, I'm just north of Miami, Fort Lauderdale area, and what happens this time of year is every afternoon, we have a massive thunderstorm. It just happens every day. So, you know, if you got laundry to put out or you're going to mow the grass, you got to do it in the morning because it rains every day. So the thunderstorms just rolled in off the ocean, and they seem to be going along with us. So, you know, every knock on wood, I think we'll be okay. It's just part of living here, man. It's crazy. Hey, speaking of crazy, I watched this film. Our guest today, we have a fantastic guest. He is a filmmaker, and his movie just dropped a couple days ago. And he directed this, co-wrote it. And just all around, I'm sure he wore about 50 other hats on this. It's indie film, after all. I would like to welcome Mr. Mike Seneca. Hopefully I'm saying that right. I might not be, but his film I'll Be Around just dropped, and we're going to talk about it. So let's welcome Mike. Mike, did I butcher last name? If I did, I'm sorry, man.
It's Cuenca.
Cuenca. There we go. I should know that. I'm in South Florida.
You're in South Florida. You
Cuban,
totally
right?
Yeah, I'm Cuban.
That's what I'm saying. Oh wow, well that's cool, man. That is cool.
Hey.
So tell us, I'll Be Around. I watched it last week, and
nice.
I loved it.
I'm
glad
you
did. I'm of that generation, though. Yeah, man. This was a very, very cool film. It is kind of tell everybody, I guess, the broad strokes. We don't want to give anything away, of course, which is kind of weird because it's not weird that we want to do that, but it would be hard to give – because there's a lot that happens in the film.
There's a lot going on, so you probably can't give too much away anyway if you vibe.
Even so. That's how music festivals are like, you know? There's
right.
Too much going on. So
yeah, I'm going to catch a little bit of this band, I'm going to catch a little bit of that band, and, you know, running around and trying to make, you know, time slots and all that stuff. So I think that's kind of what I'll Be Around is like. You know, when you approach it for the first time, you're like, what is this? This movie's like 2 hours long. What the hell is going on here? And there's like a million characters that are presented to you in the first like 5 minutes. But it's pretty much like the equivalent of, you know, being from out of town and coming to this pre-existing universe, this pre-established music scene. You show up, you're like, oh, these people are kind of cool. And then you meet some other people over here. And then you start realizing as the day progresses that how everybody's related and what bands are actual bands and what people are the fans of those bands and all that sort of stuff, you know? So that's kind of the feel of the flick. And it's, I don't know if you're personally familiar with Robert Altman's Shortcuts, the early 90s movie.
Oh yeah, absolutely.
So yeah, so this is like the rock and roll version of that. And Shortcuts, they took about, I don't know, like about a dozen Raymond Chandler stories. They cut them up, made them sort of coexist. And, you know, you're getting a little bit of snippets of each story as the day progresses, you know what I mean? So that's essentially what the flick is like.
I think that's why one of the reasons it works so well, you know, it is it's a ride, and you just have to go along with it, you know. You have to. I'm not in the movie business. I'm a civilian. I'm a big movie fan, though. You know, I'm that friend that has the backyard theater. You know.
Yeah.
Makes all my friends watch weird videos.
Those are always fun, man.
yeah, you know. You know, I tell all my friends, you have to watch at least one indie film a week. Has to happen.
Right.
you know, I got nothing against superheroes, but it's just the same story over and over, you know. Anyhow, this is
like,
not the same
like
story.
Kind of like comfort food, sort of that's what it's like.
Yeah, you know, yeah. Occasionally, we all like a chicken nugget, you know, but you don't want to eat that
right
every day. You know, that'll make you sick. Anyhow.
Especially a chicken nugget.
I'm telling you. I was watching this comedian the other night, and he had a whole bit on chicken nugget, and he's like, he goes, they finally admitted that it's made with real chicken now. Nobody had a problem with that. What had we been eating for the past 20 years, you know?
I saw some list, this McDonald's list or whatever of employees or people that worked at McDonald's. It's like top five things that those employees will not eat, and I think that was number one.
Oh, I can believe it. It's a crazy world, man. That's one thing this year has taught me is, you know, nothing I don't think surprises me anymore. You know, my capacity for shock is just kind of run
like
out.
I'm like desensitized now. I'm like, all right.
Yeah, you know, they're like, oh, dogs are driving cars now.
Yeah, sure.
Why not? As long as they signal. Oh man. So this is a cool film, and you co-wrote this as well. And this is something I learned since I started doing the show here, is that film time is different than the time everybody else experiences. All of us civilians out here, you know, we watch a television show or a movie, and we're like, oh, well, this was made last month or something.
Right.
Not always the case. You know, it's usually, you know, it takes some time. Was this a long process from start to finish?
It definitely was a long process.
Oh,
totally, because we started writing it in the winter of, like, 2016, you know? And then we just wanted to tell some kind of story about a music scene, and we had all these different ideas, and we're like, we should take that the structure that Slacker has, Richard Linklater's Slacker, the early 90s picture show, and which we were big fans of. And, like, we should just show different people throughout the day at a music scene, but we started really digging the characters so much that we started bringing them back. So 5-6 months later, we had this magnum opus that, you know, pretty much could have been a mini series. So we started condense it. And then we had we did a Seed and Spark crowdfunding campaign, and we really wanted to focus on, you know, what it's like to be in your mid to late 30s and still be pursuing your passion. And it's something that, you know, I'm LA based. So it's like, not only the movie focuses on musicians, because I feel like, you know, most rock and roll movies are sex, drugs, rock and roll. Everyone's in, you know, late teens or early 20s or whatever. But you don't see people that are still trying to do this, you know, and having kind of like an existential crisis at that age. Because point being is that it just doesn't it didn't only really apply or was relatable to specifically musicians, because being LA based, you're surrounded by actors. You know, it's working in the service industry. Mm. Most people are actors. They came out here and they're pursuing their dreams, and they're like mid 40s and they're still pursuing their dreams, and you know, it's what makes them happy. So we wanted to do something that captured all of that. So having a Seed and Spark campaign and a crowdfunding campaign, and, you know, having people, you know, throw in a couple bucks to help get this movie off the ground. We really pushed that this is about people that are still holding on to their dreams, or kind of never gave up on the alternative lifestyle, counterculture lifestyle that they discovered in their teens, which I relate to because I'm that way. And especially now the world is with COVID, you kind of find out that, like, all this stuff that was really important that you really had to strive for in life, it just doesn't really matter now. None of it matters, you know?
Right.
You're like, all right, whatever.
Exactly.
No one can pay the rent. So it really focuses on that. And, you know, we have a character too, her name is Babs, and you kind of get a hint of her backstory, because, like I said, there's a lot going on. So it's a movie that you know, I recommend watching multiple times just so you can peel all the layers. But she met one of the musicians while he was on tour. We don't know where, somewhere far from Petropolis. It's this fictional city that the movie takes place in. And she's, you know, in her late 30s or whatever. She met him. She's like, you know what? I'm going to break up with my crappy boyfriend. I'm going to go move to Petropolis. Or just you know, come out with my briefcase, with everything I own in this briefcase, and just go in, or suitcase, I mean, and go and hang out with this Rory musician that I had this amazing day with. We had this amazing, like, before sunset type of day. And she goes, and she's like, I'm not being this impulsive 20-something-year-old or teenager who met this guy and, you know, falls head over heels for him and is making the biggest mistake of her life. She's like, no, I know what I'm doing. This is going to be an experience. Even if it sucks, it's an experience, you know? So that is the outlook that that character has. And she even says, you know, society brands you. If you're a woman that's nearing 40, society kind of looks at you as strange if you're single and don't have any children, you know? So that's absolutely the outlook that these characters have. You know, I'm a total advocate for that. And like I said, present times has kind of put the seal of approval on having a different outlook and not wanting what everybody else, you know, or what society requires out of you.
Oh, yeah. And it's, you know, I watched this with my wife, and granted, now I'm a child of the 80s and 90s, almost college in the 90s and whatnot. But, you know, I was a big weirdo, had the big hair and everything. Still kind of do. I just don't put it up. I'm lazy now.
Were you into the Cure? Were you into hair metal, or were you into like the Cure?
Oh no, I went to art school. Definitely the Cure and Depeche Mode.
Yeah. Nice.
So, you know, big weirdo, surrounded by weirdos. Yeah. But my wife's 15 years younger, and so she kind of the same route. You know, went to art school and all this and that. But it's a little different. There's definitely a generation gap there.
Right. Yeah.
And but even with that, we were watching this and we're like, we were talking about it afterwards and we're like, you know, it is so true because we're surrounded, all of our friends, like we're at that age now when we throw a party, people want to bring their kids to the party, you know,
right.
I mean, just stuff like that, you know, and it's like, well, we're not really set up for that, but
And most of my peers, I mean, now some of my close friends are starting to have kids, but most of them are in the same boat. We're just like, we can just throw a party and do whatever and pretend we're 15 again. You know what I mean? But you know, it's like, I'm not shaming anybody else's lifestyle, but I like the idea that there's alternatives and, you know, that other people can be okay with that, you know, even if that's not the lifestyle that you prefer, you know?
Exactly. And things change, you know, I mean, and people are doing different things. And especially, like you said, if you're pursuing, and the other thing, and it happens whether people mean for it to or not. You know, they find out how old you are. And if you're doing something where you're not in a cubicle punching a clock, they're kind of looking at you like, who the hell do you think you are, man?
right. And
I'm
like, why are you doing that? I'm like, that sounds awful.
Right.
I'm like, all right. Well, if it makes you happy, then, you know, go for it. You know, own that cubicle. You know, decorate it. Do whatever you want with it. You know, I worked in a cubicle for a long time. It was really interesting, but it wasn't my thing.
Man.
You know.
Well, and things change too. I mean, even in my own life, I used to do a lot of. And when I lived in California, I think I spent 2 decades inside nightclubs. You know, I did the clubbing thing probably too long. And, you know, now there's no way in hell I would do that now. You know, I'm like going out at 11 o'clock. I'm ready to go to bed at 11 o'clock now.
You do feel it. You look around and you're like, oh man, everyone's in their early 20s. I'm like, I'm that guy now. I'm that guy that I used to point out when I was that age. You know, like, look at that old dude.
Same time, we both, and I'm sure you're this way too, because you know your background in music and whatnot as well. We both know good music,
and at
least I'm not. I don't think. Oh, there's. I'm not one of these people. Oh, there's no good music today. You know, I like good music. It could be something new. I hope
definitely
that there's something good new coming out.
We have that attachment to the things that we love, you know, and that we grew up, you know, listening to and all that.
Absolutely. It is. I was just talking to my father-in-law the other day, and he has that same attachment to the singer-songwriter era of the late 70s, you know, and he'll be talking about these stuff, and I'm like, God, how could you, Christopher Cross? We're really having a conversation about Air Supply? Are you kidding me? You know, that's my internal monologue.
The benefits of Air Supply.
I'm sure I've had conversations where people are going, Nine Inch Nails, really?
Yeah, you're like, what? Really? Yeah, that guy. Like, hey, that guy won an Academy Award. What are you talking about?
Exactly. He understood heartbreak. Absolutely. And now, folks, a couple quick messages from some of our show sponsors. Stay tuned. We'll be back with the rest of the interview after these quick messages.
This is a message from the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention. Older adults and people of any age who have serious underlying medical conditions are at higher risk for severe illness from COVID-19. If you are at higher risk, you should stay home as much as possible and avoid close contact with people who are sick to protect yourself. Call your doctor if you have concerns about COVID-19 and your medical condition, or if you get sick. For more information, visit cdc.gov.
Metal Babe Mayhem is super excited about their newest venture with MBM Music LLC. With MBM Music, we'll provide artists with a full-service platform to be seen and heard by assisting with necessary products, services, and fashion, all in an effort to increase exposure, fan base, and income. For more information, visit us at mbmmusicllc.com. That's mbmmusicllc.com. You create, we promote, plug in to the network.
Glittering amethyst, energizing citrine, colorful fluorite, the other side of the sun, Earth's treasures brought to light. Since 1999, we have offered a unique collection of hand-selected minerals and gems for every budget, for novices, collectors, and healers. Visit www.tosots.com to view our wide selection of offerings and use coupon code ROCKS, that's ROXX, for 10% off your first order. Remember, TOSOTS.com, Earth's treasures brought to light.
Hi folks, Jamie Rocks here. Hey, if you're a big fan of cool historical books, like me, then you're going to want to check out our newest show sponsor, Michelle Albion, a fantastic author. She's got some really interesting, cool books out that you're going to want to check out. I'm a big fan of all of these. The Florida Life of Thomas Edison, The Quotable Edison, Quotable Henry Ford, Quotable Eleanor Roosevelt, and of course, The Quotable Amelia Earhart. Michelle's just very keen and very, very cool. And these are just very cool books. So check out her website. There's links to where you can pick these up on Amazon and Barnes & Noble all over the place. MichelleAlbion.com. 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 Very, very cool stuff. Check it out, folks.
So you guys started writing this, and you did these. Hey, let me ask you this. Was that the first time doing a crowdfunding campaign? Because I heard those can be a nightmare, man. Just a ton of work.
I'm not a fan of them. It's like begging people to, like, you know, throw money at a project that they have no idea what the hell you're doing, and you got to promise them all this stuff. And, you know, I really, really, really dislike it. And I think this is the third time. And one of them was when I was doing my first flick, Jerry, which was pretty much done on the cuff. But I needed post-production money. And then before all this, about a dozen years ago, that's how, you know, long I've been doing DIY efforts, I started working on this punk rock web series. And it was like each episode was sitcom length, you know. And we did it with a bunch of friends, DIY, on the streets, running around. I saved up so much money to buy all this gear that I needed for it, a brand new computer to be able to edit. And back then too, there weren't that many rewards to doing it, because when we finally were able to get it up online, streaming wasn't a thing. So no one could play it. No one had the capacity to play that stuff. It would just freeze and no one could see anything because it was 22 minutes long, you know? I ended up at one point, I ended up pitching the show. I got close to MTV to probably produce it, but they were like, you know what? Kids today don't care about this kind of music. They don't care about this stuff. So they vetoed it, right? So I was like, you know what? I'm not going to stop making it. I'm going to still keep making these episodes with my friends. So we were doing it, and I was pretty stoked about it. It was probably like our first set date back after I got rejected, and I was gung-ho. And at the time, too, I had just like lost my job. I can't remember what happened. I was flat broke at that time. And lo and behold, in between shooting scenes, my car got broken into within like a 5-minute span. Yeah. tire slash, everything that I had in my car, which is all the gear and footage that we had shot on hard drives.
Oh, right? Man.
So we had a crowdfunding. It was, what do you call it? I can't remember the what's the original crowdfunding platform? I can't even remember what it's called right now.
One of those.
It wasn't Indiegogo. It was the other one. I'm sure if you look at my name and type in like no budget filmmaker Mike Cuenca, it'll come up somewhere. Right. But yeah, we had a crowdfunding campaign for that, so you know I could recover my gear, and it was you know thousands of dollars of equipment, and my friend had just put on her credit card. My friend had just put on her credit card that brand new computer. It wasn't even a month old, and I was gonna pay her back in installments, and it was just like gone. And I'm like, not only do I owe her, but I need to buy a new one now because I can't edit or do anything. Right. So. You know, so that was the only time that I begged people to, you know, throw me a bone, aside from, you know, trying to get all of you around off the ground.
It's a whole crazy thing, you know, and it's kind of cool how your film kind of, you know, that's one of the themes in the film is people our age, you know, it's hard for us to adapt to Instagram influencers, that whole concept of that kind of
stuff. Right, right.
Younger people are, they've grown up with the cell phone, so they, you know, they're all into it. It's no big deal.
And that's,
you know, people say to me all the time, oh, I'm a brand ambassador. I'm like, what the hell is a brand ambassador? Are you people writing you a check?
You know? I don't even know what the hell that, what is that?
That's what I said. I still haven't figured it out.
If you're an ambassador, do you get like diplomatic immunity if you're some sort of a brand ambassador or something?
I don't know, man. It's weird. It's so crazy. And, you know, like, and people our age, we're just trying to get this stuff done, you know, and get the content out, you know. I'm a painter by trade. I paint pictures of people.
Right.
The other day, they're like, oh, well, what digital programs do you use? And I'm like, Facebook?
I know, man.
I wouldn't know how to do that. My life depended on it. I'm not putting it down.
Right.
I'm just saying
right.
It's new technology.
Sometimes it gets a little too complicated. I mean, I wouldn't be able to get done the stuff that I do without, you know, all the digital equipment that's accessible and, you know, being able to edit on Final Cut or Premiere or whatever, you know. So, back when I was a teenager and I had dreams of, you know, making movies and all that stuff, I was like, how the hell am I going to pull this off? How am I going to afford all that equipment? You know, this is me like at 14, 15 worrying about that stuff.
Right. I need to get a boom and I need a camera on some rail train or rails, you know, train rails.
A friend of mine is listening in right now and she just texted me Kickstarter. That was the crowdfunding platform that we used when all my stuff got stolen, Kickstarter.
It is so true.
Yeah.
I lived in San Diego, which means I spent every weekend in LA. I'm not throwing, as they say, throwing shade at San Diego. It's just kind of how it is. All the important stuff happens in LA. or at least that used to be the scene.
I had some friends from San Diego.
Where people were trying to raise money, you know?
I painted
a lot of paintings. I donated a lot of paintings to get movies made, you know, for help.
I try to avoid reviews and this and that, but I got sent this one where the person complained that we have a character that's, you know, she's a waitress and she's picking up the shift to be able to pay her rent, or we have another character that's, you know, saving up money to pay for his recordings, and they're all, you know, in the mid to late 30s and all that.
Right.
And they wrote, who does that? And I'm like, how about the people that are actually making the movie do that? Because everyone involved pretty much like works the service industry to be able to like do artistic projects and all that. I'm like, what the hell are you talking about? You know, like these people are too old for this. I'm like, what are you talking about, man? And I'm like, that's the same thing as doing a Kickstarter campaign in its own way, you know? So whatever.
It is. And, you know, in my game, you know, I don't mind doing it, you know, but I paint a lot of people's kids and dogs so I can have money to paint the cool stuff I want to paint. You know what I mean?
Dog That Drive?
Yeah. No, that would be one of the cool paintings. Nobody buys. Oh, but
some bar will love that one, you know.
That's right. Yeah, well, this is a cool film though because it captures that, and you know, there's a lot of people out there trying real hard to still do it and to still make it and or even maintain. Even if one of the things I like about this, too, is if you become a big fish in your little pond or whatever, you got to fight real hard to keep to stay there. It just doesn't happen.
There's
you know
there's
what I
also
mean?
That. There's also that, right? So you got to continuously stay afloat, you know? So it's like for the most part, like in my thing, I'm like, hey, you know, those sort of gigantic big fish aspirations are long gone. It's just like, no, I got to do this because, you know, it's like I got to keep busy. I got to be doing something. Otherwise, you know, the malicious thoughts start creeping in. So it's one of those things where it's just like I'm biding the time. It's, you know, I'm here till I'm gone. So I got to fill it up doing something, you know.
It's so true. One of the things that your film kind of reminded me of is a time in my life when the 2008 recession happened. I had opened a gallery 2 months before that happened. And it was hard to sell paintings to people that were losing their house. You know?
Right. How are you dealing? How are you dealing with things now?
You know, actually, it's weird now. Well, it's different now because I don't think anybody's actually yet getting like thrown on the street yet, at least the clients I have, which is, you know, knock on wood. I'd be doing all right now. But this time it was weird. I closed the gallery and I said, man, I know all these people all over the country. I'm going to move out of Southern California because, as you know, it's weird when you're our age, you'll be living in Southern California and it's this weird place where you'll have like this moment of clarity and you're like, holy shit, I'm spending this much money a month, you know, and have been for the past 10 years. So I was thinking to myself, I'm like, I got to move somewhere like Kentucky or someplace, you know. I could live like a king spending this much money there.
Right, get out of
Dodge. So I traveled around. I spent probably almost a year, the better part of a year, traveling around visiting friends who had moved, you know, from college, who had moved all over the country. And kind of trying to figure out where I wanted to relocate. And I remember, now this is the part of your film that kind of, this. I had been visiting a very good friend of mine from high school. She was another big weirdo from high school, you know, introduced me to REM and all that. You know, she was that
nice
girl. Since married,
best,
I'm very good friends.
Those are the best people, man.
Oh, yeah. Introduced me to some really cool music. But, you know, I have a couple kids. And so I spent a week staying with them and, you know, going, checking out karate matches where their kids were in and everything. But then it was time to go.
Nice.
It was time to go to the next place. So, and I was traveling by Greyhound. So she dropped me at the Greyhound station, the family did. And I was looking out the window at them as the bus pulled away. And I thought to myself, I'm like, man, I've made poor choices. Where's my big house and great marriage and kids, you know? I'm on the Greyhound, you know, or of all things.
Yeah.
And so it was funny at my wedding reception, I was talking to her and telling her this story, and she goes, oh my God, I was having the same thought, but the opposite. She's like, there he goes, no mortgage, no responsibility.
Yeah.
We were so jealous
right,
of each other.
Yeah. And, so I was like, I got to worry about any of that stuff. So.
Right, yeah. So I really liked the nod that your film had. Two people still working it, man, working that dream, you know? And now, folks, a couple quick messages from some of our show sponsors. Stay tuned. We'll be back with the rest of the interview after these quick messages.
There are everyday actions to help prevent the spread of respiratory diseases. Wash your hands. Avoid close contact with people who are sick. Avoid touching your eyes, nose, and mouth. Stay home when you are sick. Cover your cough or sneeze. Clean and disinfect frequently touched objects with household cleaning spray. For more information, visit cdc.gov/COVID-19. This message brought to you by the National Association of Broadcasters and this station.
Aloha. If you have stress in your life or even anxiety and panic, I want to invite you to the Anxiety Coaches Podcast for a way out. The Anxiety Coaches Podcast is a relaxing and inspiring show bringing you lifestyle changes to calm your nervous system, and help you heal. Heal anxiety, panic, and PTSD for life. We bring you 2 episodes every week. There's no need to walk this path alone. Join us for a relaxing, informative, and inspiring time and start your journey out of anxiety panic. That's anxietycoachespodcast.com. Aloha.
Hey there, my name is Paige Beatty, and I am the founder of Hats On and Hats Off, which are 2 separate companies but aligned by the same philosophy of raising cancer awareness and forming smiles. Hats On is a for-profit corporation that sells cancer-specific hats to be proudly worn by you in hopes of raising awareness. A percentage of the proceeds will be donated to Hats Off, which is a nonprofit corporation raising money to buy wigs for cancer patients who can't afford them. That's where we're forming smiles. I believe cancer has touched almost everyone's lives in one way or another, a friend, a family member, a friend of a friend. So please visit our website, www.hatsonhatsoff.com, to learn how you can help raise awareness and form smiles.
Rocks Gear, the online web shop of high-end luxury merchandise and products, all featuring original pop art paintings. From La Jolla to Miami to London, www.merch.jamierocks.us.
I mean, what are they, it's not like you can just, you know, as far as musicians go, and this is talking to a lot of older musicians that I know, that it's just like, what are you going to do? You just hang up your axe and never play your guitar ever again, never write music ever again. So, you know, like for the most part, what most people want is just like an audience. And it's nice when it's not just your friends that are supporting you, you know, and like you have a stranger that comes up and goes, hey, I really like the, you know, what you did there. You know, whatever. It could be a painting, it could be a poem, you know, a tap dancing routine that you have. You know, as long as you get outside acknowledgement, you're like, all right, so this is probably genuine, you know, because your friends are supporting you, and you're like, I don't know, they actually like this stuff. So, you know, but,
I've had them. Oh, it's so true. It's so true. You're hoping for a sale, you know, and you look around and it's just other painters in the audience. You're like,
right, yeah. Shit. Which is usually, that's usually what shows are like. Your band's just playing to the other musicians that are on the bill, you know. So you're like, all right, this is awesome.
And their girlfriend, yeah. And their boyfriends, is the case.
Right.
Well, that was one of the other things in the film. You dealt with all kinds of different types of people, all walks of life, and this and that. And I thought that was cool. You know,
it's like a music scene. I mean, yeah, it's how it is. You know, you meet a nice eclectic group of people, or at least that's what it was like when I first started coming up to LA from Orange County in the early 2000s or whatever. And so that was, right. You know, that was like the actual experience. I was like, I don't know how anybody's related. And like, as the days progress or you start coming up to shows or whatever, you're like, oh, those 2 people dated, or those 2 people are dating. And I had no idea. And that sort of stuff, but I like that, you know, wandering around thing. You know, it's like it's just a journey. So that's what I dig about that.
Absolutely. Now, have you always been a big festival guy? I mean, obviously you've been to a few because you nailed it so perfectly in this film.
The first concerts I ever went to were like those big arena ones, and there were outdoor festivals and all that kind of stuff that K-Rock was doing in the 90s, and I'd go to those things. But, you know, the festival thing is cool. There's something here that we have every year, and obviously we couldn't have it this year. It's Echo Park Rising, which is a free festival, and all the bars and venues in the local area all team up, even coffee houses, and they have, you know, a bunch of musicians performing all day for about 2 to 3 days. So you can just pop in and out of wherever you want to hang out, or just hang out on the streets and just, you know, mingle with people. But that stuff is really cool to me. I prefer, you know, like the personal shows with bands that I love, you know, like an intimate setting. But for this, you know, it really allowed us to be able to float from one scene to the next, and everybody that, you know, is invading the grounds, you know what I mean? Obviously, because we are a DIY flick, we weren't able to show these gigantic, rabid crowds running down the street. It's not Mardi Gras in the movie, you know? But it kind of gives it it gives it that existential feeling too, where you're like, man, this scene's about to become extinct, you know. But budget aspect, I think, really played into that, you know.
Well, and the cool thing is a lot of the scenes are kind of behind the scenes almost, you know. You know, the band, I love that scene with the, I can't remember the name of the band, where they're performing their song and then the walls are so thin that they're like hearing the other band and they're like, hey, that's our song.
That actually happened to my friend Tara, who's the drummer of that band Gentacular that you're referring to. That actually happened to the band that she was in. They would be rehearsing because you know, they cram so many bands into these rehearsal spaces, and you're like, wait a second, when you stop playing, you're like, is that band next door ripping us off? That's like beat for beat our song. That's our song. And you're like, what the hell is going on? It's like they're hearing your mistakes and improving on them and all that sort of stuff, and you're like, what the hell is going on here? So that's like a common recurring thing. And I'm like, what is it? Or like trying to record in one of those places, and then you have like this bleed from the wall, you know, seeping into your recording. And you're like, oh, that's awesome. That's great.
Absolutely. They need carpet. I was just explaining to my wife this. She was asking me, she's like, she watches all these weird videos, these ASMR. Yeah. I don't even know what they are, but she's into all that stuff. And she's like, I was watching one the other day. I'm like, what are you watching? Before she went to bed on her phone. And she's like, oh, it's people cleaning carpets in Russia. It's very soothing. Jesus, really? Somebody filmed it?
I have the first three compilations of carpet cleaning, you know. I don't have the Russian edition, though. But they're really soothing at night when you're trying to just, like, pass out and quench the demons of the day.
Yes. Well, she asked me. She goes, I don't know what it is about Russia. They apparently have a lot of rugs. I'm like, yeah, because the walls are shitty, man. They hang them on the wall. Everybody knows
the
that.
Wall of Jericho.
That's right. Oh, man. So let me ask you this. Now, you have some cool cameos in this. Did it just catch you new and whatnot, people from the neighborhood, or how did that happen?
Well, like Frank Agnew, who's he's a guitarist. He's played with Social D, Adolescence is what he's known for from the Blue Album and all that jazz. He's one of my favorite musicians, period. But from working on Oblivion, the punk rock show, I got his brother Rick Agnew to appear on it. And so he invited Frank to be on the set, and then Frank and I became good friends, and I put him in Oblivion, I put him in a couple of music videos. He's in my first movie, Jerry. He plays a henchman. So I was like, I gotta use you again. And you know, he bleached his hair, he's wearing that Hawaiian shirt. He didn't know when he was gonna be shooting. So he's looking like this for a couple months with a thick mustache, and he no longer looks like that cool long haired rocker that he's known as, you know. And he'd had to keep explaining to people that he was going to be filming something. But so I was like, I'm going to cast you, and I'm going to put you as the boss, as the diner boss that won't let the musician get off on time to be on her bill that evening or whatever. Right. And then, it's just like friends of friends asking around. There's a lot of LA punk rock icons that, you know, I really admire. And it was just about just hitting them up and asking them to be in the flick.
They
understand
what you were
obviously
doing.
Getting Casey Royer from DI on set was pretty rad, and you know, we're trying really hard to shoot that scene, which we had to do, you know, pretty much on the fly, guerrilla style, because we lost the bar that we were supposed to shoot at. So we had like 5 minutes to get that shot, that whole scene with him. And you know, he's telling us a bunch of amazing stories from back in the days, and I'm like, I can't hear these right now because I'm trying to figure this situation out, because we have like a time crunch or whatever. So it's cool that they're all really supportive and all that stuff, you know, and they really were able to relate to the material and all that. Or even asking Jay Maskus to play the record shop owner, and he delivers that monologue about records and all that, about, you know, it's like, you shouldn't sell your music because, you know, the physical copies that you have remind you. He's like, I can't tell you, you know, he's like, I could tell you who I listened to it with for the first time, when I listened to it, how I was feeling. And I usually have that when, you know, you look at something on your shelf, for example, that you've had, and you see like a Black Flag Damaged LP, and you're like, man, I remember the first time I heard that thing. So you have that copy as a reminder. So he gives that speech and he really related to it. And also when I told him that he's a gigantic Wipers fan, and I told him that the movie is named after a Wipers song. So he was just like in, you know.
Ah, nice. Nice, nice. Now, we have, ladies and gentlemen, we have links, of course, to the official website, www.idafilm, I'll be around, get it, idafilm.com, and we also have the Facebook and social media links up as well. I suggest, every episode, if you dig somebody, whether it be an indie film or, you know, somebody that's making the best biscuits in town, like and share it on social media. It helps a lot. Oh, Mike will tell you.
He'll
have meetings with
the
people.
What are the best biscuits in town?
I don't know, man. I don't know.
I'd like to know. I'd like to know this. I need to know this right now.
That's right. Nobody shared their social media. That's the problem. That's why
that's
we don't
problem.
Know.
That's why we don't know. Yeah. That's the issue.
Exactly.
But, yeah. But I guess you
now
can find all the – what was that? Sorry.
Well, I was going to say, the film dropped. It's available now, right? The 23rd? It's been out a couple
of
days?
It's on Amazon and Google Play, and it's coming to some other platforms in the next few weeks.
Nice.
But, yeah,
nice.
And if you scope out the flick, please, please rate it and give an honest review. If you hate it, write that you hated it. That's fine by me. But, you know, we're trying to, you know, generate, you know, an audience. And the more reviews we get on there, the more chances people will come across the flick. So if whoever checks it out can do that, that would be amazing.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And it's so we live in an algorithm world. I don't know what that means, but I've told that what it is. And reviews and any kind of mention, hashtags, that kind of stuff, it all adds to that. So there you go. Mm-hmm. There was such great music with this film. Do you think there's going to be you're going to throw out like a soundtrack at some point, or is that still hopefully in the
book? Since we couldn't clear licensing for a bunch of music, I had to write a bunch of songs that were similar to that stuff. And so, you know, most of the cast are musicians, you know, not everybody, but most of the cast is. So I had them contribute, or they wrote their own songs and we put them on there and all that jazz. So like, I just ended up making a compilation of a lot of the songs and I threw them on SoundCloud. So if you look up, I'll Be Around soundtrack and type in SoundCloud, I think on Google or something like that. I think you should be able to come across it. And, it's like over probably like an hour and 20 minutes. That's how much music we use in the movie. It's about an hour and 20 minutes of music for people to check out if they like the music. And I'll be around.
Oh, very cool, man. Very, very cool. Well,
I'm actually
awesome.
Doing that right
that
now
awesome.
to see if it, see if we can actually access it. It's somewhere on. I don't see it if you type. Just go on SoundCloud and type in I'll Be Around or my name or something like that. And maybe it'll show up.
Very cool. Very cool. Now, I know that this film just dropped and we're pushing this film hard and whatnot. But I have to ask, you know, is the gears turning for the next project? And can you talk about it yet?
So I've had a simultaneous project and there's one that I'm going to start in I don't even know what day it is, 2 weeks from now. And the other one is a real-time movie where I'm following these two young, early 20 best friends that are into mod culture. So they're into like R&B and soul and a lot of the British 60s music and all that jazz. And it's their friendship within a five-year span shot in real time. It's all vignettes. And you see how, you know, they go from being the best of friends to, you know, not being the best of friends. And it has a lot to do with relationships and their personal interests and all that sort of stuff. And it's a total French new wave, Godard, Truffaut tribute, which are filmmakers
nice.
That I totally loved when I was a teenager. They blew my mind away when I was that young. So I want to kind of do a tribute type of movies. And that's called The Boys About Town. And we even, you know, we shot maybe a month ago, the last vignette. So, and we obviously had to put the current state of affairs into the flick. But
right.
we're doing this anthology neo-noir movie in about 2 weeks
really?
called like a dirty French novel, which is named after Velvet Underground lyrics. But there are five stories loosely connected. Some characters appear in the five stories, but they all have to deal with mystery. That's all I can really say. But it's going to be it's intentionally the weirdest. It's intentionally the weirdest thing I've ever done, but each one's it's being shot in a different manner. One's in black and white, and so on and so forth. But it's going to be really fun. And a couple cast members from I'll be around, and some of my regulars are going to be in it.
Oh, fantastic. I cannot wait. And I will be, talking to October Coast and whatnot. When these are ready, I want you back on
awesome.
The show.
Sounds good, man.
Yeah, I'm really big in the whole, my whole painting thing is pop noir, you know, the dirty underbelly.
Awesome. You might dig this.
Oh, I'm sure I will.
And maybe by then we'll know which are the best biscuits in town.
That's right. That's right. I love it. Well, thank you so much, Mike.
Thanks for having me.
Absolutely. Anytime, man. Anytime. You have a friend in South Florida now. So let's stay right in touch, and I can't wait to see more.
Cool, man. Oh, yeah, and if I'm gonna do an extra plug. My first two flicks are available for free on Vimeo under Mike Cuenca Vimeo, which are Jerry Powell, which is a kind of offbeat dark comedy, and then By the Wayside, which is something interesting. You should just scope it out. If you have 75 minutes to spare, watch that movie.
Absolutely. And listeners, I'll be putting those out on my, the links on my social media and whatnot. So you can get right to it. I'll do it after the show. Very cool. Mike, keep doing what you're doing, man. You're real good at it, you know? Real good.
Likewise, man.
Okay, man. I'll talk to you soon. Thanks so much.
All right, thanks.
Yep. And folks, that's going to wrap it up for us today. What a cool show, man. Made my Saturday. I'm very, very pleased. We will be back. I'm taking tomorrow off, but we'll be back Monday. We got five or six new shows next week. I think it's five, actually. And it's a mix of music guests and film guests. So very, very cool. I just watched this. We have a filmmaker. I think he's coming on Friday. He did this really cool documentary. If you're into the skateboarding culture and whatnot, that we all kind of grew up around. He did this documentary about a skate park in suburban London, and it's just very, very cool. I watched it last night. So, yeah, stay tuned for that. Hey, and you can always check out my website, jamierocks.us, or poprocksradio.com. That's probably easier to get to. They both go to the same place. To see the following week, actually, I think we have the following 2 weeks up, always listed upcoming shows. We do about four or five a week. And, so there you go. And check out some paintings while you're over there too. There's some cool ones. Okay. Well, that's going to wrap it up for us. This episode, of course, will be converted to a podcast and, pushed out on all the various, social media platforms and on all the podcasting platforms. I heard that we're on like 250 of them right now. It's insane to me. I don't know how that works, but the big ones are Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, and Spotify. So we're on all those. And many, many more. Very cool. So be sure to check out our guest links and website as well. We always have those up. And our sponsors. We have really cool sponsors. And use their code. They all have a code where you can save some money if you're, getting their products and whatnot. We don't put any lame ones on. They're all cool people. So there you go. We will see you Monday. Have a great weekend, everybody. Bye.
This has been pop art painter Jamie Rocks's Pop Rocks Radio Talk Show. It has been executive produced by Jamie Rocks, recorded at his studio in Deerfield Beach in South Florida. All rights reserved by Pop Rocks Limited for broadcast on Blog Talk Radio.
Tana Oli, Pop Rocks Radio. Estás escuchando Jamie Rocks de Pop Rocks Radio. Manténganse al tanto.
Hej, det här är Hicks från Sverige och ni lyssnar till Pop Rocks Radio med Jamie Rocks.
Blog Talk Radio.